All right, 2 Kings chapter number 19. What we're going to call this tonight is the day that prayer can make the difference. The day that prayer can make the difference. 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. Now, we looked at this passage a few weeks ago, and I think I called it the reproach of the living God. We looked at something specific. But as you know, I really am convinced about the power of prayer. And I was looking at this passage the other day, and this just came alive to me. And I hope it'll be a great encouragement for everybody to pray and to pray believing. And so, we're going to read several verses here, but just focus on the first few in 2 Kings chapter number 19. Beginning verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God, I'm just happy already. The Word of God does say this. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord, and sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and blasphemy, for the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. Now, I recall Hezekiah and his army were being threatened by Sennacherib, and Rabshakeh was crying out to them, and they're facing threats, and his response is, because they're outnumbered, they're outmanned, there's no way they can win. And they're blaspheming God. Like I said, we call this before the reproach of the living God. And this is his response. And now he's going to go to the Lord through all this. He's going to pray, and we're going to see that prayer makes a difference. But we're going to see some specific things that I think will encourage you to believe in prayer. It may be, verse 4, it may be that the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall ye say to your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and this shall turn to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard that Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee. He sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the king of Assyria have done, the kings of Assyria, have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezep and the children of Eden, which were in Thelasar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arphad and the king of Sepharvaim, of Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims. Now, I was listening to a message by Brother Wheeler once, and the mercy seat is between the cherubims. You know, God's got a mercy. Thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for you being God and living up to every definition about yourself that that means. We thank you that you never fail to be God. You never fail to be Lord. You never fail to be Master. You reign supreme in absolutely everything. We thank you that you're on the throne tonight. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord, we ask all these things. Amen. Well, we won't focus on, if you read the rest of the story, like I said, we looked at this passage a few weeks ago or maybe a couple months ago, I can't remember. But what really brought my attention, as you know, Hezekiah prayed and they got a great victory over the Assyrians. They made all these threats, all these boasts. But he's going to pray in some situations here. In fact, he's going to define the day that he's praying. And the day that he's talking about is the day that sometimes we don't pray. Sometimes we just turn the other way. We just give up. But I want you to know, because God wants us to know, that prayer can still make a difference. And so the day that prayer can make the difference, we find in verse number 3. Now Hezekiah, before he goes to the Lord, he's going to say, man, this is a bad day. We got some problems. And first thing I want you to notice in verse number 3, this day is a day of trouble. So number 1, the day that prayer can make the difference is a day when there's trouble. Now, we know that, we say that, but how often is it easy to not pray? Or there's so many troubles that people go through that many times we just think, man, we're just in trouble. And I think oftentimes we don't even pray over certain things because we're just used to being in trouble, and we've gotten used to not seeing the supernatural hand of God, that even if we do pray, we really kind of pray to get through it, just kind of get through the situation. I was reading a book about a guy, and a man was sick and bedridden, and somebody in the house said, I believe if you come and pray for him, he'll be healed. And so he took somebody, he wanted somebody to go with him. And so he took somebody with him to go pray over the man, pray with him. And the guy that went with him started praying. He said, oh Lord, would you please help and comfort this guy? And the guy screamed, said, Lord, stop that man from praying. Caused him to shut up because what he was praying, he wasn't praying faith. He is praying comfort. Basically, he is praying that he would be able to endure his illness instead of actually being delivered from his illness. And sometimes when we have trouble, we actually pray that we'll just endure the misery of the trouble. Now, do you remember the story enough to know that Hezekiah was in trouble? I mean, they really were going to come and kill them, right? I mean, that's real trouble, right? And so there was a day of trouble, and he wasn't praying, well, Lord, would you please help us endure while they cut our throats, you know? He wasn't praying that, you know, or while they beat us half to death and while they take our wives and our children. Would you help us not to, people were so miserable back in the day. I can't remember what story it was, but it happened more than once that one of the kings, when they captured him, it was a custom, they put his son to death before his eyes, and then they poked their eyes out. And they do that so the last thing they ever remember seeing with sight is their children being put to death. You talk about wicked people. And so this was a real threat. In this trouble, so he wasn't praying to get through it, to endure it, but he prayed to get out of it. And the day that prayer can make the difference is when we have trouble. And we need to believe God, especially if it's trouble that is keeping us from the plan of God and the will of God, then that's trouble God wants us out of. That's trouble God wants to deliver from, and we need to be able to pray, believing that God will actually bring us out of that. Now, to hold your place in Kings, we'll come back in just a moment. Psalm 9, we'll look at a few different passages here about God and how he works in trouble, delivers his people in trouble. And Psalm 9, verse 9, the Bible says, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. That's verse 8, actually. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Verse 9 says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that trust thee. So God is a refuge in times of trouble, a place of deliverance. Psalm 31. Notice in verse number 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Now, he said, Lord, I'm going to rejoice in your mercy. Now, I think about this verse. You know, I wrote down this statement. Many will never be delivered in trouble because they will not pray, because they do not feel worthy or spiritual enough to have help from God. You know, one of the things I think that I know, and I'll just tell you the truth, one thing that I know I've struggled personally in my prayer life in the past is thinking when I need a miracle, that I need a testimony of faithfulness so that I can know God can help me. Really what I'm doing is I'm trying to come to God on my own merits. Because I'm thinking that, well, if I hadn't been reading the Bible enough, if I hadn't been faithful in this area, why should God answer my prayer in this behalf? Well, he said right here, and this is good news, by the way, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. Now, what can you do to earn mercy? Really, what can you do to earn mercy? I mean, mercy is giving you something you don't deserve, right? We understand that, right? So that means there's nothing I can do to qualify for God's mercy. That means I can't be spiritual enough to have mercy. That means I can't be faithful enough to have mercy. Mercy is based on the character of God himself. That's good news. So, because how many times, and when he's praying, even have his kind, when he's in trouble, how many times have we been in trouble and we don't really cry because we're thinking, well, God won't help me in this. I mean, I'm talking about even after you repented. Either, well, but I gotta face my punishment, whatever. You know, and we understand, I understand Galatians 6:7 fully. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For as for man soweth, that shall also reap. But God is a God of mercy. And the Bible says his mercy is new every morning. And so if he is the God of mercy that he says he is, if I'm in trouble, God has mercy. I mean, think about it. The greatest single act of mercy we ever experienced is what? Salvation. Saved. Why? Why? Because, well, you know, because we cleaned our act up. We kind of got serious about serving God. We started reading the Bible. We started going to church. And so then because we prayed this prayer, God saved us. No, we called for mercy. There was absolutely nothing we could do to warrant or deserve the mercy of God and salvation. So, and the same is true when we come to God, when we're in trouble even now. Because even this act of mercy that he will deliver us. And the psalmist said here, shall be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. For thou hast considered my trouble, and thou hast known my soul in adversities. You know, because think about it, any cry, even if even if it's true tonight, we're 100% in the will of God, to be in trouble, we ask God for, it's still mercy. Because he could just let us rest in the trouble. Sometimes, Job said, should we not receive good at the hand of the Lord as well as evil? So sometimes it's, we trouble because of being the will of God. But mercy is still there. But the great thing is, though, we can have mercy. And there's many things that we go through, and I think we just stay in trouble sometimes because we don't believe enough in God's character that he would actually give us mercy. I don't know about you, but that took me a while to get saved thinking that way. Because really, I mean, I was talking to somebody in the office the other day. I was at the doctor, they asked how the church was going. I said, well, we kind of had some come in, go out, and just as we build up a little bit, it seemed like people pull away. She said, why do you think that is? And I said, well, honestly, I think without being born again, I said, the salvation message is almost too good to be true. Okay, I said, you're going to take the perfect, sinless Son of God. He's going to come down, walk on the earth, and he's going to die for you. He's going to take your shame, your punishment, your sin, your guilt. He loves you that much. He's going to willingly die in your place so that you can be born again. And, that almost doesn't make sense. Because we don't know anybody that loves like that, except but God himself. Because people love want something in return, you know, but the message of the gospel is a message of mercy. He said, what does the Bible say? Romans 3? There's none that understandeth. There are none that seek it after God. None of us even came looking for him. You know, we think we finally started looking for him, but no, he was pulling us the whole time. And finally we said, Lord, save me. You know, and he did. And thank God for that. So in trouble, we need to cry for mercy. Don't say you don't deserve. Well, maybe you ever did this. Well, I just don't deserve God to help me out of this. I did this to myself. Isn't that exactly why you would need mercy? Can I get a witness? Can somebody help me there? That's true, isn't it? That's exactly when you would need mercy if you did it to yourself. Amen? So cry. The day that prayer can make the difference is when you're in trouble. Amen? Amen. Now, Psalm 50. Amen. I may have to run out the door and down the street, not even finish and preach this later. I'm having a good time. I hope it helps somebody. Psalm 50 and verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving. I will say this, that kills our religious. That makes it kind of bad for us because we like to, and I don't say when I'm not pointing at anybody in this room per se, but religiosity, if there is such a world in general, really wants to find something within ourselves to justify why God works in us. I think that's what destroys a lot of people in the ministry, is that we want to find something within ourselves as the reason to why God actually blesses us or blesses the work that we do. And if he does, it's because he wants to, because he's able to. It's because he gives mercy. Amen. He's merciful. Amen. Psalm 50, verse 14. Offering to God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon the Lord in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Why? Because he had mercy. He delivered you in trouble. That's what God does. So the day of trouble is the day that prayer can make the difference. Psalm 60. Psalm 60. Whew. Psalm 60. Verse 11. Psalm 60, verse 11. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. But man is the first place we turn in trouble. And even when I'm going through something, I have some really good godly friends I can call for counsel sometimes. Pastor Wheeler, George Smith. And sometimes I want to call them. And so many times I'll pick up the phone and the Holy Spirit said, will you talk to me? Will you call me? You know, and there's times he does direct me to call them, but only when he directs me, then he works through them to help me. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Notice verse 12. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Proverbs 11. Verse number 8. The righteous, and by the way, God declares us righteous. We're declared by the righteousness of God. We can't, all of our righteousnesses are what? Filthy rags. So if we're righteous tonight, it's not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of God put in us through Christ. So the righteous, I lost my verse. The righteous, verse 8, the righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. 2 Corinthians, so the righteous, by God's help, by God's grace, salvation, their righteousness is of me, the Lord says. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For we would not, brethren, verse 8, pardon me, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Paul's in trouble. That we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. I can tell you right now, it turned out okay because he's writing to tell about it. Amen. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Trouble, so we'll trust God more. Not so we stay in trouble and wallow in trouble. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. So God still delivers, he's saying. God delivers us from death. He still delivers us out of trouble. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now back to our text. So we see number one, the day that prayer can make the difference is the day of trouble. That's the longest point, just so you know. That's the most important one. Because I'm telling you, that hinders a lot of prayer. We don't think we deserve it. We don't think God will hear us. Mercy is not based on your merit. The sooner we stop coming to God based on our merit, the more we'll go to him. Because we never can measure up to be enough to deserve anything. Really, how can we ever be spiritual enough to deserve anything from God? The answer is no. We come to him, that's why we pray in Jesus' name, based on the crisis within me by salvation. 2 Kings, back to, I have to find my place here. So we see number one, the day that prayer can make a difference is the day of trouble. Number two, the day that prayer can make the difference is the day of rebuke. The day of rebuke. This day is the day of trouble and of rebuke. Now, the rebuke he's talking about is the rebuke of God. They're blaming God. And you know, we live in a day and age where the world wants nothing to do with God. My wife and I were talking the other day, and she said something just off the cuff. I never really thought about it. You know, how God gets blamed for everything, blamed for this. And, you know, well, what about Job? You know, because in the book of Job, you know, when, you know, natural disasters are blamed on God, the wind is what took the house out, which the wind was under Satan's control, right? If you look at that, the wind was under Satan's control that took the winners out of the house and destroyed Job's family. Fire from heaven came down and burned up the sheep and the servants in the field. That was under Satan's control. Satan did that. And God gives blame and rebuke for things. And if we're not, God is so talked bad about that often we find, to rebuke is to find fault. But that's exactly the time to pray. Doesn't matter if everybody else finds fault in God, if everybody else blames God, then we still, that's the day to prayer. Because, you know, here is a Hezekiah. Man, I mean, he's got Rabshakeh, he's got Sennacherib talking about God. Man, who did you see all these other kings? What is your God going to do? And basically, he's rebuking them. Don't trust God. God's lying to you. Don't believe him when he tells you to trust in the Lord God. Don't believe him. God, and we know about God that it is impossible for him to lie. I mean, thank God for that. Amen. Romans 9. In verse 13, Romans 9, verse 13, it says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Now, I won't go into all the details of the passage, but it's bringing up something that basically we can't really completely explain. Because it's written that the Bible says God said he loved Jacob and Esau he hated. When they ask the question, is there unrighteousness with God? And the Bible says, God forbid. You know, we can't, when we don't understand something about God, let me help you out. God's always right. There's never any fault with God. We never doubt it. Don't ever rebuke God. Don't ever blame God for anything. And even though we live in a day and age where many people do and will question why they were, some people question why they were born. But don't let that get you caught up. That's the right time to pray. This, just like it's the day of troubles, right time to pray. The day there's rebuke and even more, I tell you, even people that have professed the name of Christ, I've seen it, that even now that I've been serving God so long, I've seen it happen. People that serve God for years, all of a sudden now, God is to blame for everything, and they rebuke God and question God. But you know what? You know what that does to me? It makes me pray. It's the day that prayer can make the difference. Doesn't matter what everybody else does, and don't you be moved by what everybody else does, or if they begin to rebuke and blame God, you just keep trusting the Lord. Amen. Now, I won't have to spend a lot of time rebuke. We'll look at the next point because these two are so closely related. For me, it's kind of hard to differentiate. The day that prayer can make the difference, number three, is the day of blasphemy. The day of blasphemy. Now, blasphemy, I like this definition. Blasphemy is an injury offered to God. That's an attack against God. By denying that which is due and belonging to Him. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Even the heavens glorify Him, but man always does. Or attributing to Him that which is not agreeable to His nature. You know, they didn't realize it, but when the disciples said, Lord, don't y'all care? That's blasphemy. Blasphemy because God's love. Of course He cares. When you deny the nature of God, that's a day of blasphemy. When you deny the power of God, the authority of God, that's a day of blasphemy. And that's exactly the day when it's time to pray. And that's the day that prayer can make the difference, in the day of blasphemy. There's people all around the world that are attributing a character to God that's not consistent with the God of the Bible. That's blasphemy. And it doesn't matter, to me, it doesn't matter, and to you, it shouldn't matter either, how many people do that. That just means it's the day the prayer can still make the difference. People do not believe that God can deliver like He does in the Bible. People do not believe many things about God, that He can't heal, He can't do more, that basically, people today don't believe in the institution of the church, institution of marriage, institution of anything, because they question God's plan as if God's plan is not the best way to do things. Just because man does some dumb things, it does not change God's ability. And it's blasphemy. But this is the day that prayer can make the difference. We talk a lot about deliverance. Many biblical things people compromise and don't do the way the Bible says, for fear, because they don't believe God can take care of them. Matthew 6:33 is a pretty much a foreign verse to many people. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. We say that. But is God really first? And we don't do that because we are convinced that there are many things in this life that are more important than God. More important than God, pardon me. And we attribute to that, we attribute to God basically, okay, I know you said if I put you first, you provide all these things, but Lord, I can't really see that. And so that means you're not going to keep your word. And so since you can't keep your word, I'll take care of myself. It's a day of blasphemy, but you know what? That's the exact day where prayer can make the difference. Don't get caught up with what might call mainstream Christianity is doing. It doesn't matter if they deny God, deny His power, deny His ability to provide. Hey, you know, we worry so much about money. When Jesus needed to pay His taxes, know what happened? Coin came out of the mouth of the fish. He said, go, hey, go throw some out there and pull that fish up, and there'll be a coin in there. Boy, I tell you, the main thing is Satan has us so distracted about what we really need out of life. We don't even know when we need money. That's the real main problem. Sometimes we think God's not providing, but I think a lot of times we don't even know when we need money. But God, it's a day of blasphemy, but that's okay. It's not okay, but it's okay for believers. Don't get sidetracked. Believe God. Trust God. I mean, Hezekiah, was so threatened by Sennacherib, you know, and that he said all these other kings, and they weren't able to be delivered, and you're not going to be able to deliver either. Don't you dare trust Hezekiah. We're going to kill them just like the other ones, and we'll take care of Hezekiah, and we'll take care of your God also. That's blasphemy, how they speak against God like that. That'd be like if Naomi went to public school and Brother David sends her some lunch money to school. And Naomi comes home and says, "Daddy, I'm hungry." I said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Well, I didn't eat lunch." Said, "Well, but I gave you money for lunch." And he said, "Well, some kid named Johnny took my lunch money." And you know what? He took all the kids' lunch money. And he said, he dares you to come stop him. Now, I don't know much about Brother David. I know a little bit about him, but I think he found a way to Johnny's house. Is that right, brother? It didn't matter if he was 9, 10, or 5 years old. He would go find Johnny, and he would have something for Johnny. And that's kind of the rage. That's kind of what's happening here. If you think of the magnitude, I mean, imagine Brother David against somebody Naomi's age. You know, even beyond that, the living God watching over his people and some human being, some earthly king threatening God's people that he created and gave them a name, gave his own name to them. And he says, don't trust in God. He can't deliver you. That's blasphemy. You know what Hezekiah said? I think I'll just pray about that. It don't matter what happened to the other kings and their gods. I'm going to pray because I know what my God can do. Don't get sidetracked. And see, be careful. We do serve the living God. And we know his name. But just because other people may not serve that name properly, and we may look at them carrying that name, and they may not go for it and do it exactly, live the way God wants them to, don't worry about that. This is the day that prayer can make the difference. No matter who blasphemes God, who says God can't do it, whoever says God's not able, you just don't worry about that. You go to the throne, and guess what? God will deliver you, amen, because he said he would in his word, amen. It's the day. The day that prayer can make a difference is the day of blasphemy. Number four. And this is the saddest one, but this is the one that probably hits most of us the most. But it's time for a revival. The day that prayer can make the difference is the day when God's children are alive, but they don't have power to live. The day when God's children are alive, but they don't have power to live. Notice what he said in verse 3 again. He says, this is the day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. He likens what's going on to a child being in the womb, obviously alive and kicking, and it's the day. Is everything's in position for that child to come forth, and it's alive, but it's time to come forth out of that womb and to live a new life in the earth with the life that's been given it, but it says there's no strength to bring forth. We live in a day right now where people will, without question, and I've had years and times in my life like this also, without hesitation, say, "Jesus is my Savior." But then not have the power to live like Christ. Struggle with this and that, and we do struggle sometimes, but I'm saying to the magnitude to where people just can't do it. And that's when we're seeing it more than ever. I mean, we look at people like Paul, and Paul's like a foreign creature. I mean, Stephen being put to death, you know, for testifying of Jesus Christ. We read about people in Hebrews, some were tortured, not accepting deliverance. And we resolve the political correctness when it comes to evangelism. We're so terrified of rocking the boat or offending somebody that we don't have a concept of the life and death. The reality that is in our hands, you know. And I say, we don't really even have a clue anymore as to how to flesh out and to live out the Christ within us. But that's the day when prayer can make the difference. No matter what anybody else is doing. Prayer can still make the difference. God's Bible says, be holy, for I'm holy. And God's people can't seem to be holy. The Bible said, be ye not drunk with wine, words in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And every child of God has no concept about what that day really even is like, a day to be filled with the Spirit. And God said, be filled, so I think that means we're supposed to know when we're filled. That's the day of trouble. But I'm trying to tell you, don't get depressed. That is the day when prayer can make the difference. When God's children are alive, but they don't have the power to live. I've talked to people that said they're Christians. I can't forgive him. I can't forgive her. Well, that doesn't make sense because Jesus said to forgive. That's unbiblical. That's impossible. Because that means you don't have the power to, you're saying you don't have the power to live the life that God put Jesus Christ in you for. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. So I'm supposed to live by faith. That's what God puts me in a situation to live by faith. But that's exactly the day when prayer can make the difference. See, what happens for years, we've heard stuff like this, and you hear messages like this, or stuff like that, and we think, oh man, I'm just a failure. I'm just this. And no, that's the day. I'm trying to tell you, that's not what this is about. That's not this. You can feel bad. Oh man, I can't remember. I've been filled with the Spirit. I don't witness like I should. No, that's not what this is about. This is about praying, making the difference that you and I becoming exactly what God wants us to be. Us having the faith in times of trouble to be delivered by the merciful hand of God, knowing that He can do it. But even though it seems like it's a pretty terrible day. But this is the day. This is the day where we pray and we believe God, despite all the threats of the enemy, all the accusations, all the blame, all the past history of anybody else that went up against the enemy, anybody else that tried, anybody else that failed, all that's thrown out the window because this is the day that prayer can make the difference. It did for Hezekiah, and he had a pretty bad day going for him. Galatians, 2 Corinthians 5, we look at this verse, I think, Sunday. But you can't get too much of a good thing, amen. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Man, what a God, what a Savior. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live. Okay, Jesus died for all, that they which live. That's who's alive tonight? Anybody alive tonight? Okay, so that's us in here. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. So the mandate, the reason Christ died, that we don't live unto ourselves. But that's foreign. Even in Bible Christianity, because it's a day when God's children are alive, but they don't have the power to live. This is exactly what Christ came for. That not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him, which died for them and rose again. Well, this is a day that prayer can make the difference about that. If you're living unto yourself and not unto Him, this is a day. Prayer makes a difference. This is a day. Galatians 2:20. This is a secret. This is Paul's secret here. And this wasn't exclusively for him, by the way. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. This is good. He lived by the faith of the Son of God. Jesus' faith is perfect. Paul said he's not living this life by his own faith. He's living by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But if we ever really understand that God loves us, man, it'll drive us, first of all, to our knees, and it'll drive us to do absolutely anything for him and trust him anyway, because he would never put us in any situation that would be to our detriment, because he loves us. And even no matter how far we get away from him, no matter what we do, he still loves us, because he loved us in before. He saw it from eternity past. And the mandate never changes with God. Everything about Christ is bring us closer, bring us closer, bring us closer. Even if we're backsliding tonight, the mandate does not change with God. Bring us closer, bring us closer. But the day when God's children are alive and they don't have the power to live, that's the day prayer can make the difference. Maybe a prayer of repentance, prayer of mercy. You know, if we were to pray like Hezekiah, if there's anybody here tonight that you could identify with point four, that you know God wants you to live a certain way and you hadn't been doing it or don't feel like you have the power to do it. If we were to pray like Hezekiah prayed, we'd probably pray something like this. God, the devil's telling me I can't be the person you told me I can be. And God, your word says that Christ died that I would not henceforth live unto myself. Your word said that if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature. And everything the devil is saying is I can't be what you told me to be. And he might be like he said, it may be that God will listen. Maybe God's listening right now. Maybe God's listening to all the threats and accusations that God's people cannot be Christ-like. Maybe God is listening to everything he says and that all the threats. And see, Hezekiah did something about those accusations. I don't know about you. I've been accused that way before. Well, you'll never be what God wants you to be. And if we were Hezekiah, we'd say, you know, Father, will you listen to what the devil told me? Maybe. Maybe God will listen and he'll get tired of that blasphemy, because if God can do anything, God saved me to be like him. God saved me to be holy. God saved me to live for him. God saved me to love nothing but him. God saved me to love with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. That means that's possible. That means it's time for prayer. It's time for me to focus and cry out to God and say, God, I will be what you want me to be. I don't care what anybody else says about this Christian life. I've read what you said in your book, and I believe. Now turn to 2 Chronicles 20. We'll grab the last point here from Jehoshaphat's life. And he was in trouble, too. It doesn't specifically say in trouble like we read in our text here. But this is the one, this is kind of like the one that kind of throws it all together. And it really all boils down to everything. These are some good passages if you ever been hopeless or helpless, and we live in a hopeless and helpless generation. You know somebody, you think, well, let's just put it like this. The Bible says preach the gospel to every creature, right? Is that right? Anybody, you got anybody in your life you think, man, I could never witness Christ to them? That means you had, you're alive, but you don't have the power to live the Christian life. Because you're supposed to preach the gospel to every creature. That means this is the day that prayer can make a difference about that. Now, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. Now, this is now Jehoshaphat. He's in trouble too. I think the Moabites want to come kill them all off. He's outnumbered. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast of all Judah. I'll let you read the details, but I want you to catch basically his prayer here in verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Notice this, neither know we what to do. Now he's going to pray. He's going to win the victory. You can read that later on your own time. But the day that prayer can make the difference, last of all, is the day when God's people don't have any idea how to have victory. The day when God's people don't have any idea how to have victory. Isn't that what he's saying here? He said, Lord, we don't know what to do. But all we know is, Lord, is that we have no might against this great company. I mean, there's no way we can win. They come against us. Neither know we what to do. We don't even know how to fight. We don't know how to take the first step. It's just kind of like when I think I told this story before. But when we lived in Missouri, somebody that we used to park the church van in our house, and somebody set the church van on fire one night. It was the middle of the night. I don't know. It was late, but I was dead asleep. My wife woke me up, and I had this 52-ounce Big Gulp cup, you know, and. Did I even put water in it? I can't even remember, but all I could think to do was grab this cup thinking somehow that I could put water in it and it would make a difference. I didn't have a clue as what to do. The fire was so big, it was so fast, I was half asleep. I didn't know what to do at all. And because I didn't pray, I just sat there and watched it burn to the ground, you know. I wonder if I had just prayed. You know, God. Well, God can do anything. My God can. And it's not because He's mine. It's because He's the living God. But I'm saying, Jehoshaphat said, "You know what, Lord? This is the greatest enemy we've ever come against. We're outnumbered. Lord, within ourselves, it is absolutely impossible for us to win. And Lord." We don't even know how to win. But our eyes are on Thee. Father, would You win for us? And what He did? He won for them. He fought for them. He went and fought the battle for them. So the day that prayer can make the difference is when God's people don't have any idea how to have victory. I wish every child of God in the world could hear this message, because the majority of God's people are found in number five. We're looking at all the stuff around us, and we're looking at it. It seems like the enemy seems so big, and it's like God's people don't even know the first step to take. And He said, "No, just look unto Me. Look unto Me." I was preaching in Woodstock this morning. This weekend, as you know, and I drove back and forth, and I was preaching Sunday night, and I stayed Sunday night over, and also stayed Monday night. Just had some time in prayer, and I was taking off, making all my goals and lists for the new year, and thinking of what plans of what I'd like to accomplish here, what I'd like to accomplish there. And Monday night, God spoke to me, and He said, "There's one goal that you need for this year." He said, "It's Me." So I have one goal for this year: God. Nothing else matters but God. Because I know that if God is my goal, everything else will be what it's supposed to be. Our eyes are on Thee. Because if I don't do that, my eyes will be on my goals and this plan, and I'll be looking for this to happen here. And I want God to work marvelously in every single life in here. And I believe that's going to happen this year. You know how it's going to happen? Because I'm not going to look at you. I'm going to look at God. And I'm going to look at God, and God's going to show me everything I can possibly do so that your life can be exactly what God wants it to be. Because I don't know how to give each of you individual victory, but I know the one who does know. And I'm here to tell you tonight, and I mean this with all the power of the Word of God, the authority given to the Holy Ghost, that right now this is the day that prayer can make the difference. And let's leave this place tonight believing that if you're in trouble, then this is the right day. You're in the day where God can work in your life. Rebuke. Devil may, you may have, even in your own life, you may have blamed God for something, said it was His fault in this, wish your life circumstances had been different. Don't put all that behind you. This is the day that prayer can make the difference. You may look around, people blaspheming all around you, saying negative things about God and His character, saying that attributing to God failure, that God is not almighty like he says he is. Don't worry about it. This is a day. The prayer can make the difference. And you may be sitting here tonight wondering why you came to church, because you think, man, I can't do this life. I tell you, there's times I've sat trying to get ready for preaching. And I thought, God, how in the world did you ever call me? I said, God, there's no way I could ever. I said, I can't even preach again. I take a great turning point in my life. I still remember we had the location on Queen Street. I may have told the story before. I was sitting there on a Sunday afternoon. I was crying. I was trying to get ready to preach. I tried to call Brother Bianchi. He couldn't preach for me. I tried to call Brother Johnston in Richmond Hill to preach for me. I can't remember if I called one, but I sat there crying. I said, God, I can't preach again. I said, Lord, is there no one that I can call that can preach in this service tonight? And just as clear as the day God called me to salvation, the Spirit of God said, I already called someone to preach tonight. That was me. And it wasn't because I was qualified. It wasn't because I was able. But what I'm saying is, I sat there and I didn't even know how to have victory. But all I could think of was, God, help me. I don't know what to do. And know what he did? He helped me that night. And he'll do the same for anybody. And so God, the day of trouble is the day when God's people don't even know how to have victory. But that means it's available. So I'm going to challenge you just to do something very simple. We don't have to have an invitation. I'm going to challenge you to pray. That right now, become people of prayer. Don't let Satan immobilize you and sit in there and think that. Find a prayer closet tonight. Make one this year and become a person of prayer. Yeah, it may be a day of trouble. That's okay. That's the day that prayer, we saw it here. That's the day prayer makes a difference. Yeah, rebuke, blasphemy, the whole list. I'm not going to go through the list again. But the day, that everything we said, I think that's about everything we live, right? Did I miss anything? That's just about covered it all. This is the day that prayer can make the difference. This is why Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Because we don't pray, we faint. I'm famous for sitting and thinking about stuff. This time I come here. I've come here late at night, and I'm going to pray tonight. After 2 or 3 hours of thinking, I start praying. I came here and I start thinking about the problem. Instead of actually calling upon God, saying, God, have mercy. Show me something. And sometimes we think we're praying, we're just thinking about stuff. Instead of actually talking to God about it. Have mercy. That's a good way to start. You don't know what anything else. Go out, just have mercy. You said it's due every morning, so that means you got some available, amen. And you said your mercy endures forever, so that means there's some available right now, amen. By the grace of God. What a God. Father, I beg you, my Lord, would you please write this message on the hearts of every hearer? I know that you fully, Father, it is your will for your life of victory to be in life of every single hearer. Our times are in your hands. Even the trouble comes from you, but the trouble is there. Lord, there'd been nothing to preach tonight if Hezekiah hadn't been in trouble. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing him to be in trouble so we could see how powerful you are. And thank you for the trouble that you bring in my life, just so I can know how good you are and praise you. And others can see the reality of the living God this day, this hour, this century, this moment, this minute. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I plead with you. Would you bind Satan right now? Don't allow him to put any doubt in the hearts of these hearers. And Father, for the one or two, who knows how many, if there's anybody here that's not saved tonight, Father, oh God, would you help them to realize that we preached about a God tonight that they don't know? And would you help them to see that this loving God is so unchangeable and so almighty that he's willing to give these tools and gifts to his servants and cause them to see your great goodness and turn from sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ into salvation. Lord, right now, I don't know what to do, but I desperately want your children to catch the reality of the truth that's preached tonight. So I put my eyes on you, and I rest in the power of the Holy Ghost to move your children to a perfect faith.